Welcome back to Around the Mic on SoJo 104.9. It has been a minute. It's Heather DeLuca with you and our midday host, now Chelsea Corinne. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Welcome to the discussion. We are just going to jump right in. It's a topic I've been holding on to because I wanted to get your input, your reaction, because Chelsea and I are both beauty junkies.
That's an understatement.
It's
but
like 50% of everything that we talk about. So actress Kate Beckinsale made news this week for getting a $650 facial that is allegedly made of foreskin.
Oh.
I don't know how to really describe all this without using the P word, but we are going to try to find other words to describe a certain appendage.
Okay.
But yes, it is the foreskin of a certain appendage.
Okay.
So Kate Beckinsale, to me, she's beautiful.
She's a classy lady, too.
Always shows up on the red carpet and kills it. Totally kills it. But she's in her mid-40s now, and she looks so youthful. And I know we talk about the celebrities getting these oxygen facials, these 24-karat gold facials.
The vampire facial.
With the blood.
That's terrifying. I would do it, but it's terrifying.
snail or, slug goo. There are just places in the world that go to extremes when it comes to preserving beauty and staying wrinkle-free. So apparently it is the foreskins. My question was, where do they get these foreskins from?
Well,
are they coming off cadavers?
That's a lot. It's not a large piece of material you're working with.
So
and the
what
face
they
is
say,
a much bigger canvas.
They are flakes of foreskin.
So do they again, it's not that big. So, and your face is a decent size. So is it just spot treatments? Is it how? That's a lot you'd have to use. Is it mixed in with something else where that's just an ingredient within the entire thing?
So it does involve a peel.
Okay.
And microneedling. So they're essentially penetrating, the surface of the skin. And what that does is it brings just a little bit of blood to the surface. It's said to boost circulation.
So it's like a vampire facial.
Sort of.
And that.
But you brought up the
size.
The size of the foreskin.
Size matters.
So when I
had to.
It clearly doesn't in this instance,
I guess,
because
not. They
are from Korean babies. So that's we're talking, we think, even smaller.
This is. I can't wrap my mind around this it was a big deal when women were eating their placenta after birth, and that was kind of gross. This, to me, is a whole new level of weird bodily pieces used in some sort of to make yourself look more beautiful or feel better. This is weird, especially because coming from babies, that makes it even weirder to me.
And, they didn't get a say. What if that baby wanted its foreskin? Didn't get a say. But its parents were like, no, if this can help pay for your college, we are going to sell your foreskin so that Hollywood actresses can feel better about themselves.
Are they selling them, or is it they're just rounding them up from the hospital?
You don't think...
They're getting tossed out anyway.
Yeah, right, but they're getting tossed out anyway, so I bet you the hospital sells it. Or are there facilities where, this is where... there's a facility. I can take my baby to this doctor, this dermatologist, and maybe they'll give me more money for my baby's foreskin.
There's certain conversations you never think you're going to have in life, and this is definitely one of them. And this is something, I don't know, no matter how bad when I get older I want to look youthful, it's a line I think I would ever cross. The vampire facial, I would cross that line. I would do it, absolutely. I would do the other ones, the snail ones. This is a line that I think you shouldn't cross. It's just above and beyond the weird.
That's what I'm saying. You're getting to my point for bringing this up is how far would you go? I say, I won't probably even get Botox for several reasons. If I don't need to get a needle, I just shouldn't.
Yeah.
And then I'm afraid that I'll be that 1% that has an allergic reaction or my face freezes in a certain way.
Fair enough.
This, I would do. Because if
really?
It's going to help me look like Kate Beckinsale.
But you have baby's foreskins all over your face. Heather.
It's like the fountain of youth. No, have you ever touched a baby's face, a baby's skin? Just like that's what we're striving for, to get back to that. Like, you want your skin as smooth as a baby's butt, or in this case, you know, a baby's wee-wee.
See, that's so weird. That's where I'm saying it's like it's just there's something perverse a little bit about it. Like, I'm not saying anything bad about you. I love you, Heather, but there's something a little very creepy about
this. What I haven't gotten to the bottom of is what is exactly in the baby boo-boo foreskin that is so nutrient?
I don't know.
It's such a nutrient for the face to kind of turn back time or stop the aging process.
I still want to know how many it takes for one. Like, it has to be a lot. Or is it, again, like such a small percentage of the actual facial? Like, is it mixed, you know, it's ground up or whatever they're doing with it with other ingredients?
Ground up.
What else are you going to wear?
Ground up baby foreskin. Well, you know how, like, it's basically any trend. Like, Botox started with the Hollywood elite and with the top tier plastic surgeons in the country. And then it's come down to where you can, like, have a house party and, like, somebody will just come over and inject you.
I would do Botox.
And, you know, like, microblading. Now you can go to, like, your local shopping mall and, like, they do that for you there. So I'm thinking, like, in a year or so, we might be able to find Korean baby foreskin facials in our area.
I hope
accessible
not.
Accessible to us.
And don't get your, you said microblading, don't get your brows microbladed at a mall. That will not turn out good. It won't. It won't look good.
I just don't know.
But no. This is a line I don't think I could cross. I say that now, but watch. If it becomes like a mainstream thing, you know I am that person. That's the thing. Well, I'll
do
anything for a video. I'll do, you know, whatever it takes. So I don't know. I say no now, but I say no hesitantly because I know myself.
Yeah, because we have and we will.
This is so gross, though. It's so gross.
Okay, where do you stand on unconventional facials? Let us know. You can comment. You can comment below. You can tweet us, Sojo1049FM on Twitter. We're all over social media. You can just hashtag around the mic and let us know, like, if something like a Korean baby wee wee facial came your way, would you take advantage of it?
Is that the official name? Korean baby wee wee facial?
I can't say the P word. I can't say it in a normal setting. So to reference a facial or a baby, like, it's just not happening.
Fair enough.
Moving on from baby Korean wee wees to a kitchen sponge dressed in boxer shorts.
Oh, like SpongeBob
SquarePants.
That's cute.
So its creator, Steven Hillenburg, at a too young an age, passed away this week after a long bout with Lou Gehrig's disease. He passed away of ALS. And this is the man who brought us that is like a ravaging disease. And I feel awful for him. And he was such a creative mind, an animator, a cartoonist. Was even a marine biology teacher. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Which is probably where he got the inspiration for these sea creatures. So, you know, like, I pulled this up. I saw this on social media. And it's the starfish. I've never seen a single episode of SpongeBob SquarePants. So Patrick says, is mayonnaise an instrument? No, Patrick, mayonnaise is not an instrument. Is horseradish an instrument? Like, no. Okay. Here's the reason why I can't watch SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
I know it's not. Are you a fan?
Not really.
You're a little younger,
but I was a little too old for SpongeBob by the time, but I have younger siblings. So when SpongeBob was really big, my brothers were watching it, and I would watch it because they were watching it. But it wasn't really my favorite. Plus, we weren't really allowed to watch it at home. Like, Nickelodeon was not a channel we were allowed to watch much at
home.
Yeah. But you know, it was a show that I would watch, and I found some things a bit funny and would find it mildly entertaining, but it was definitely not like my go-to, because SpongeBob fans are SpongeBob fans. They are insane. Like, they are intense. I am not one of them.
Why? This is my question. Because, like, SpongeBob obviously has been in the news a lot this week because of Steven Hillenburg's passing. And so I'm in my mind, like, thinking maybe I want to go back and revisit this. Maybe, like, I want to kind of binge some SpongeBob. But I cannot get over the fact that he's not a sea sponge in boxer shorts. Like, why is he a kitchen sponge in boxer shorts? Like, why can't he just be a sea sponge? It just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it does. Visually, a sea sponge in boxer shorts is going to look awful.
But kitchen sponges don't belong in the ocean. Well, I mean, there could be a lot of them there now because they don't seem like something that disintegrates very easily in a landfill.
But it looks better. There was a squirrel in SpongeBob, and she wore like a scuba mask thing.
I'm looking at her right now, I think.
Like a fishbowl thing over her head. Sandy the squirrel. So that was a thing, and she lived in her dome.
She's right here.
Yeah, she lived in a dome. Yeah, Sandy. And she had, like, she had her little flower on her.
Well, how did she get there?
I don't know. They may have explained it. She's from Texas.
And this thing right here looks like kind of like an alien. He looks like a skeleton or an alien.
That's
what is
Squidward. He's supposed to be a squid.
Oh, okay. Well, he belongs there. Yeah. I could never get over the fact that he was a kitchen sponge when there are plenty of functioning sea sponges that deserve their time in the sun.
But they're ugly. And a bright yellow sponge is attractive visually to a child and to, I feel like, everybody compared to a sea sponge. Sea sponges are great if you want to sponge paint, if you want to use it as a, like, a loofah kind of thing. But it doesn't look pretty. It just doesn't.
I don't think that you can judge a sea sponge that wants to wear boxer shorts.
I'm just saying.
If Steven Hillenburg was so talented, then he should have been able to move beyond the rectangular nature of a boxer short and a kitchen sponge and found a way to dress up a sea sponge. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, in the show, you had a crab whose daughter was a whale. I mean, biology made no sense in that show whatsoever. It just didn't exist. So why not? If that's your problem with the show, you got a lot of other issues with the show. There's a lot of weird stuff on that show that makes no sense.
I have a lot of issues with a lot of cartoons. I mean, the Jetsons told me by this time I could go to a vending machine and get my meals in pill form and just go on with my day, and they would expand in my stomach later. I should be flying a car, not driving one.
I wish.
All right, well, this is Around the Mic on Sojo. This is our very own podcast, and if you give us a good rating, it's going to make us feel good. That would be fantastic. And come back for another profound conversation.
If this is how we're kicking things back off, this is, oh, things are going to get real interesting real fast.
Well, I brought these topics to the table next week, so I can't wait to see what's inside Chelsea's mind in the future. Hit that subscribe button so you always know when we post a new episode. And I am Heather DeLuca. You can catch me on the air 3 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, Chelsea, every midday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And we will catch you next time on Around the Mic. Bye-bye.